Here's the thing about conflict in the Middle East. More often than not, the United States has at least some kind of say in what happens. For example, on Thursday, the Biden administration took action on an issue they have long been urging Israel's government to get a handle on.
This just in to CNN, President Biden planning now to take action targeting violent settlers in the West Bank.
The White House announced an executive order that will slap sanctions on four individuals accused of directly perpetrating violence or intimidation in the occupied territory. While Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has condemned the violence in recent months, it has not stopped.
Have seen an uptick in these incidents involving Israeli settlers in the West Bank. As many as 500 incidents, eight Palestinians have died as part of them, and it has been sort of a...
Meanwhile, since October 7th, the U.S. military has had its hands full dealing with attacks from Iranian-backed militias. So, as the U.S. prepares to carry out a lengthy response to the deaths of three U.S. service members, the question is, will these groups get the message this time?
The thread that we're hearing is that, according to U.S. intelligence, they have seen signs that Iran is not totally comfortable with the fact that these Iranian proxy groups have, in fact, managed to kill Americans.
Today, why Iran itself might be feeling the heat. From CNN, this is Tug of War. I'm David Rind. Natasha Bertrand is here today. She is CNN's national security reporter. She's at the Pentagon right now. And so, Natasha, since October 7th, we've heard a lot about these Iranian-backed proxies stepping up attacks, whether it's Hezbollah in Lebanon across the border from Israel, the Houthis in the Red Sea, this umbrella group that the U.S. believes was behind that attack on the U.S. service members in Jordan. But do we know how Iran itself feels about this escalation?
Well, we're told by U.S. officials that Iran has actually been getting increasingly nervous about these escalations by these proxy attacks because the attack that killed three Americans on Sunday was a major provocation that Iran perhaps doesn't really want because it kind of backs the U.S. into a corner, you know, forcing the military to respond in a meaningful way. And Iran, according to officials that we speak to, really doesn't actually want a hot war with the United States, just like the U.S. isn't exactly eager to go to war with Iran. And so the thread that we're hearing is that, according to U.S. intelligence, they have seen signs that Iran is not totally comfortable with the fact that these Iranian proxy groups have, in fact, managed to kill Americans because the region is just so tense right now that really any kind of escalation on anyone's part could really spiral out of control. And similar to that with the Houthis in Yemen, which is another Iran-backed group,
Right. They
are also supported and funded and equipped in many instances by the Iranians. But they've been launching these attacks on commercial shipping that are angering some of Iran's only allies, really, including China and India. And so the economic impact of that is really damaging, not only to, of course, the West, but also to the international community and some of Iran's allies. So that is not something that they are totally happy with either.
It's like when the financial interests of Iran's few friends start being threatened, then Iran hears about that, and it's just kind of uncomfortable for them.
Exactly right. And China actually, for the first time, just a few days ago, came out and said very bluntly that there needs to be a stop to these attacks on commercial ships in the Red Sea. Now, they did say, of course, that they believe that this is all linked to the war in Gaza and that there needs to be a ceasefire in that case. But their interests have been harmed here, too, and it's something that the Chinese have a lot of leverage with. They could pressure the Iranians to try to rein in the Houthis, but the question is, how much control does Iran even have over the Houthis?
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. What can Iran actually do about this if they see some of these groups that they kind of sort of control, you know, going maybe a bit too far? What can they do to actually rein them in?
Well, it's unclear at this point, according to the officials we spoke to and according to experts, whether Iran is actually going to make major changes here and try to rein in these groups. Yes, some of their actions have made them nervous in certain instances, but in the grand scheme of things, do they need like a wholesale strategy change? That appears unlikely at this point. However, there was a group, Kataib Hezbollah, just a few days ago where they said that they have decided to suspend their attacks on U.S. forces. And that was seen by many analysts as a sign of Iran's nervousness, because Iran does have a lot more control over the groups in Iraq and Syria than it does over, say, the Houthis. And so it's seen as a like barometer of how Iran is feeling when these groups come out and do things. And so that was a sign that perhaps they're looking for an off-ramp.
More with Natasha after the break.
This podcast is supported by Sleep Number. Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores? Sleep Number does that. Only Sleep Number Smart Beds let you each choose your ideal comfort and support, your Sleep Number setting. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. Temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
We're back with Tug of War and my conversation with CNN's Natasha Bertrand. When it comes to the U.S. part of this, like as we sit here on Thursday afternoon at like 12:30 in the afternoon, they still have not responded to that attack in Jordan, but we know that's coming at some point. Can it meaningfully deter these groups? Because, like, these groups have been active before October 7th, right? And those attacks just kind of kept going and simmering on in the region. So what can be done here?
I think it depends on how much they actually manage to degrade the militants' capabilities. If they actually strike infrastructure that they are using in a significant way that actually destroys a lot of their weaponry and equipment and, you know, degrades a large percentage of that, then that could be even more than just symbolic. It could have an effect on their actual ability to carry out operations and drone attacks and rocket attacks and things
like
that.
It's like the strike itself may not deter, but if you strike something that is truly at the heart of like the operations and the actual firing of these rockets or these drones, then that can make a difference.
And that's exactly what they've been trying to do with the Houthis as well in Yemen. And they've done it a number of times. The U.S. military has in Iraq. They've struck, you know, different command and control centers, storage facilities, warehouses that these Iran-backed groups are using to launch these attacks, including, you know, ones that are controlled by Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, which is their military wing. And so It really depends on the course of action the U.S. takes here. I think based on what we're hearing and seeing the administration say publicly, this is going to be a multi-layered, multi-tiered response that is carried out against a number of targets over an extended period of time.
Whenever we conduct a strike, we're going to hit at what we're aiming at. We're going to take away capability.
And we did see Lloyd Austin today, the defense secretary, for the first time since he was hospitalized exactly 1 month ago. And it was the first time he's spoken to reporters since December 20th.
At this point, it's time to take away even more capability than we've taken in the past.
He also emphasized that the administration's response to the Jordan attack is going to be multi-leveled, and it is likely to be extended over a period of time. And he also squarely pointed to these Iran-backed militia groups as being responsible for the attack. And he said, very notably, you know, they have significant capabilities, but I have greater capabilities.
You know, I don't think the adversaries are of a one-and-done mindset. And so they have a lot of capability. I have a lot more.
Well, we'll see what happens. Natasha, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tug of War is a production of CNN Audio. This episode was produced by Paolo Ortiz and me, David Rind. Our senior producer is Haley Thomas, Dan DeZula is our technical director, and Steve Lichtai is the executive producer of CNN Audio. We get support from Alex Manisseri, Robert Mathers, John Dionora, Lenny Steinhardt, Jamis Andres, Nicole Pesaru, and Lisa Namorow. Special thanks to Caroline Patterson and Katie Hinman. We will be back on Wednesday. Talk to you then.